So we've been talking about what are the essentials. We started and looked at that Jesus is everything. That an essential first at Emmanuel is Jesus. That we are desperate for Jesus. That's the heartbeat. Like Jesus is the heartbeat of everything. The church, it starts with him, it ends with him. He is the deep end of the pool. Everything starts there. And so, and as we said, it's not a one-time moment with Jesus. It is like a desperate need for him daily. Daily. Sometimes, right, hourly. And sometimes, minutes. That's how desperate we become. We also said that we are made for community. The second essential. Community. But community by itself doesn't carry the same weight as Jesus. It's not the same importance. It doesn't have the same centrality of Jesus. Community cannot in itself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's only Jesus. But he's built us to be in a community, a new kind of community, that it's so flipped upside down that you're not trying to just soak something out of those people for yourself. You're being so changed by Jesus, the center of everything, that you then are loosened up as you learn how loved you are by God to see others and to love them, to feel, oh my gosh, this is safe. I can share. It will take time. The gospel needs to be here. Like, this is a new kind of community. Something is happening in you. It's Jesus. That's the beauty of it. It's a freeing you. It shouldn't be full of fear and control. Like we've talked about, this isn't like, oh, there's secret meetings and there's something just for some on the inside. No, Jesus made it really clear. Anyone can get in on this. Anyone. A community. Third, and that's what we're focusing on today, is our third essential is calling. And so calling can be summed up kind of biblically, and we'll look at this here in this passage some in other places, but you are totally accepted. Calling. First, you're totally accepted in Christ. Second, you are no accident, but uniquely made and positioned for God's strategy. You're totally accepted. So in the Disney movie, Frozen 2, didn't think I was gonna go there. I don't go to Disney movies and be like, oh man, what's the best theology? But Disney is spectacular at getting to like tapping into the heart of what's really going on in people, for real. Like they're masters at getting to like, oh, there's something about humanity. We can get at that. They're really good at that. Here, Elsa sings this song and she says, I've never felt so certain. All my life I've been torn, but I'm here for a reason. Could it be the reason I was born? You hear her saying, like, she knows that she's here for some type of reason. What is that? What does that even mean? Will she miss it? Or you could put, will I miss it for my own life? Where does that come from? There's something inside of all of us that feels that sense. Like, I'm here. I'm not random. I have to matter. Why is that? And she sings that, and you feel that because you're like, oh, there's something there. Yes, it's a cartoon movie, but oh my word, I too am feeling that. And here in Romans 1:1-7, Paul says, part of this passage here, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets and the holy scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God and power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all who in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ. Just, there's an insane amount here, and we can barely scratch the surface, okay? But you just take the first couple words of this to start with. Paul, a servant of who? Of Christ. Christ is the title of Jesus, Lord, Messiah. So Paul is saying, I serve Jesus. There is a philosopher, Augustine, who's super, super famous, super old, and he makes this observation from long ago. Everyone is a servant of something or someone. Everyone. Now, just saying that, in our culture, just saying that in Ann Arbor, that contradicts everything that you are told. Everything that you kind of even would think. Because everything in our moment, or our culture, or our city says you're the authority. You get to decide what you want to do, who you are, and all of the rest. That's what it says. You get to do that. So here, let me show you this as an example of why we all serve someone or something, and not just, it's not neutral, he would say. It's not just like, oh, I can just do whatever I want wherever. And I'm making an observation about a situation that was local. Don't take this as like, oh, this is a critique of that, or this is an in-depth look at why this happened. Don't go there. I'm just using it as an example. Why would somebody who is, and honestly made like the pinnacle position in a job, who is making millions, and in so many ways they've made it. They just made it. That then all of a sudden, they're being arrested in Saline for trying to reconnect and connect with a mistress. Like, the giving up everything that would seem so, what matters so most, the money, the you've made the title of a job, that's crazy. That must mean as an observation, right? You must want or love or serve something different if you're willing to just go completely different. You must be in that moment, oh, I long to be needed and wanted and loved in a relationship in some way. I serve that. That I'm so willing to just say like, no, I want that. Like, it's not neutral, right? Like, we all serve something or someone. It just is reality. And so as you see Paul here, Paul is saying, I serve Jesus and he is incredible. When you follow Jesus, you don't have to achieve, make, gain. You receive a purpose. You receive an identity. You receive a life that isn't just like, oh my gosh, I got to make this happen, or like, if I don't have this, then no. You receive freedom and forgiveness and love and joy. You're receiving life. And you just go through some of this section. Verse 1, it's clear. Paul is said, he's set apart for what in verse 1? For the gospel. He's set apart for the good news. His life has been so changed that what he is now about is the gospel. It's what he does. This is what I'm doing. I'm sharing this with Rome. Verses 2-4, Paul shares also the powerful, historical, life-changing truth. Jesus is the resurrected Lord. That isn't just a cultural moment or something that vibes for some like 3-4 weeks. This is historical truth that has carried on the same weight for thousands of years. It's changed lives. You see in verse 5, like Paul has received grace. Why? So all's a big word. All the nations can have obedience of faith, which we'll talk about that in a second, but like that's anyone can get in on it. Anyone, wherever you're at, whatever the place you think you're in, that's the beauty. It's for all can get in on this with Jesus. And then Paul in verse 6 says, like to the churches in Rome, which we already see in verse 5 applies also to us because it's all the nations. He says, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. There's this, like in the Greek, the word belong isn't there, but they put it in because that word calling has such a meaning of like you're in, like you have been moved towards by God and he has brought you in to him, his family, identity and purpose, that they had to add that word to make it understand like, oh, you're in, you belong in Christ. It's such an intimate word. And so you look, Paul has been so totally accepted. And he is not an accident, but he's uniquely positioned by God. So in one sense, you kind of look at Paul's life and here, Paul, you step back, Paul's really saying, look, Jesus loved a sinner like me. You kind of use the words today, like, I thought I had to figure it out. I had to find what was worthy or that would make me worthy. Or I thought I had to prove myself to the world or to myself or to the Roman Empire for Paul. And think about it. Paul makes it clear. He was at the top of the game. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the most impressive. They took Paul, right, and said, we want you to snuff out this way of Jesus. Take him out. So Paul's there hearing the sermon of Stephen declaring the history of Jesus and who Jesus is. And as Paul listens in to the gospel declared, he just says, grab those stones and execute him. I mean, that's wild. I mean, that is deeply real. That's so real. And so in all of this, Paul is saying, like, Jesus loved a sinner like me. Totally accepted. Now, like, this is a grace that's so life-changing because everything in our lives, maybe in ways that we've been following a different servant or like a different Lord, that we want that thing or we want this thing. So when we start coming into Jesus and start tasting grace, it's upside down. It's like the foundations are being moved because you're like, oh my gosh, I thought it was that way. Or I didn't even know that's what it was. Or I didn't know you that's what it is. It's so foundational. It's just not like, oh, I'm choosing this and now I'm choosing this. It's the foundation is being rebuilt. Who am I? What am I? My purpose, my belonging, all of it. So like Paul, you are totally accepted when you're in Christ. So take a deep breath. This is a calling that you don't have to achieve. You don't have to make happen. You don't have to do so much to prove yourself to anyone, anything. Because as Paul says another place, there's no condemnation in Christ. That means everything is washed clean. Everything. In Christ. It's not even like, yeah, but. No. Gone. Yeah, but. No. It's gone. Paul was killing people. And now he's so alive because he knows he's so totally accepted in Christ. So why am I hammering at this? One, it's in the passage. And so we hang on the words of Jesus. But two, because if you don't know grace like this with Jesus, then your life will be full of ever chasing but not finding. Knowing you were meant for something but feeling like you missed it. And your heart and mind will keep getting sucked into the places that scratch at the deep truth. Jesus accepts me, but never actually gets there. So you're trying to find joy and excitement and purpose and impressiveness in your own efforts, or you're chasing something that you're serving instead of being so changed by the one who loves you and gives you grace. So you might even say, hey, look, I've been around some of this quite a bit. Or maybe some of you, it's super new. But some of you might say, hey, I'm a pretty religious person. I'm doing a lot of good things for God. Are you? Have you ever heard the hymn from Charles Wesley, who just his life was so changed by the grace of God that he's crying out in such amazement? He says, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Because of Jesus, you are so utterly loved in the place that you are so needy. The depth of sin in us is insurmountable. The depth of brokenness and like all the rest, it cannot be changed unless something miraculous happens, and it's Jesus. And then you say, I'm free. It's like you're so totally accepted, you can't stop smiling. For real. You're like, this is wild. How can that be? How can that grace be that true? Oh, my word, this is deeper than I thought. This is more than I thought. This is what, I'm like a kid that just entered a candy shop and someone said, just go. You'd be looking around like, no, you're kidding, right? And they're like, no, go. It's so good. And you're like, there's strings attached, right? Like, there's going to be something. There's a dentist hidden around a corner. He's going to be like, jump out and be like, now I've got a lot of business. And you're like, no, go. And you just can't but be so excited and freed and smile. This is what happens when you're so receiving the grace of Jesus, you're totally accepted. You're totally accepted. And because of this, you have deep meaning, deep value, deep identity, and deep purpose. You matter so much. You are no accident, but uniquely positioned. I mean, think of Paul's story. Paul wasn't an accident. Like, Paul's life is not random. He was set apart, the scripture says, and he was uniquely positioned for that time and that place as an apostle. And he was given the task to give out the good news, witness to the good news, and particularly to all nations, Jews and Gentiles are Greeks. And that in itself is wild, because here it is. This is where it ain't for everybody. It's just this Jewish nation people. Now it's for everybody. They would be like, you're out of your mind, Paul. And then over here to the Greeks, they're like, I don't think so. That's not how we operate or see the world. Paul was given an impossible task. If you think that Paul, on his own effort and ability, would be able to break this into the Roman Empire, to people groups that are so divided, like, man, he might be just the greatest person ever then. But he's not Jesus. Paul knew he had such an impossible task. And so what he did was he witnessed to the one who changes everyone's lives, who changed his life. It will be miraculous what takes place. But Paul was uniquely positioned. He had been educated. He was a Roman citizen. Like, he had these things right where he was at that moment in time that mattered so deeply. God designed it for him to be uniquely there in that time, in those people's lives, to be that missionary, to be that church planner, to love people in that space. And God has done the same thing with you. He has uniquely positioned you. And you are totally accepted. That's the crazy part. Right, Oz Guinness, he's got this great book on calling, says, calling is not primarily about what God wants from you, hear that, but about what God has done to you and who you are now in Christ. Look, the more you learn about Jesus and who he is and how you are totally in, right, the honesty is, you will be so much more desperate for him. You will grow. And because when you step out and follow Jesus, when you're like, you're like Paul, you're going into these places. There's no book on how to bring all of this together, what his task was to do. He had no idea. Like, and so when you step out into a conversation, you step out in the place that you've been given, you step out into your neighborhood, you step out into this place that you've been uniquely positioned, you will be like, yeah, but I don't know what to do. Can I tag someone else in? Josh seems to know what he's talking about. You want to go for a walk, Josh, and then you talk to these people? Or like, it will just be over and over. And that's exactly when Christ is saying, oh, no, this is it. Now you realize how weak you really are, how impossible it is. You need more me. Oh, come to me. Cry out to me. It's dependence. It's faith. It's actually, he wants to say, I'm putting you in places that you might have some skill in and effort, but you're also going to feel extremely weak. And that will show just how powerful I am. It won't be me. It won't be you. Yes, we know who Paul is. I mean, he worked hard and he took abuse. And Paul's task took him to the limits. Right, he's being beaten, he's being hurt. Like, his task was extremely difficult. But he can keep saying, I'm totally accepted, I'm all in, I'm uniquely positioned because he's about something else. He's a servant of the Lord. He's not following his own way. He's following something else. So, no wonder in God's word, it is like a repetitive way. Joshua 1, John 14, these patterns of what do we need? God's people going into the promised land, Joshua 1, massive transition in their history. John 14, massive transition in history. Jesus is going to die, resurrect, be ascended. It's just the disciples. What do? The same thing is said in both situations. One, you stay close to my word. Stay close to me, my commandments, my word. Word, right? Jesus, stay close. You need me. Two, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Why? Because you're going to be frightened. You don't know what to do. It's going to be terrifying. It will feel like I'm out of control. Be strong and courageous, not because, wow, you're so strong and you're so... No. So that they can see who Jesus is. And third, the same thing is said. I will be with you. I will be with you as you go into the promised land. And Jesus is telling his disciples, I will be with you. And even doubles down even more because we see clearly that the Comforter comes. The Spirit is given as a gift and lives in us. He's literally in you. He is with you. In that moment, in that time, in that conversation. So, you will feel like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. What do I do? But you gotta know you are totally accepted and you are uniquely positioned. And that's God's strategy as a people, as a person. He wants you to step out. And just like Paul, everything, like you matter right now. You matter right now, whoever that might be in your life, where you work, where you live, whatever you're doing. And here's the beauty. You don't even have to like go and have a strategy plan about this. You have a job. You sit around people. You have a neighborhood. You have friends. You like to do things. Invite them in. You have family or friends who are hurting, are needy. You step in. All right, what do? Few things and we'll end here. One, what does this look like? Pray. You pray. It has to start there. God, I'm struggling to know that I'm totally accepted. And it will be a process. It'll be a journey there. But you pray. God, okay, you uniquely positioned people throughout all of history. Where do you have me right now? Who do you have me to? You pray. He's all in. He gave his life for all of this. Like, why would he die and sacrifice everything if you aren't so valuable right now? So you pray. You ask him, open him up. It's more Jesus. It's more community, being together. Two, you are in those positions for a reason. And I'm not saying a job might change, and I'm not saying like you might move. Like, no, who knows what God's going to do? But you open it up and you say, right now, where you have us, how do we show and love you in such amazing ways? And that you're free to do that because you're the kid in the candy shop. Like, do you know what I have already? I want to show you this. Come to the candy shop with me. Be my friends who love candy also. right? Like, oh, come on, you can get in on this. Two, just, I mean, we're going to go into a little series after our birthday, talking about some of this. It's actually more simple than you think in ways. Everyone's got a story. And actually, a lot of people I found like to tell their story as they feel safe. Be curious about their story. It starts there. Be really curious about the person. Ask them questions. Learn their story. Ask them questions that go a little deeper. Learn them. And then all you have to do is be like, right, oh, you shared your story. I'm sharing some of my story, which my story is I'm a kid in a candy shop who's experienced the grace of God in ways that's so crazy that, like, it has to come out in my story. I was so whatever, and I am finding life in this man, this God-man, Jesus. You might then feel that moment of like, I don't know, I'm a little afraid of that moment. Man, that's part of your story. Let them hear that. And then lastly on this, like, Jesus is both something that's experienced in community, right? And through him, through relationships and how we do it. And it is explicitly also proclaimed. Like, we want to just be like, it's kind of nice if they could just maybe feel him around me and that will do it, because then I don't have to say something. You look at Paul's life, that doesn't even make sense. Paul is completely being changed by Jesus and how he operates and lives, and his words proclaim Jesus. You have to say it. There are words to be said. So very quickly, you could say the A, B, C, D. I was telling a couple people about this. A, it's just admitting there's something's wrong. Everything's not right. I can't have it all figured out. I don't know how to do everything. Or I've done things that aren't right. I'm admitting it's just everything's not going well. Oh, me too. What do you do with that? Well, you've got to believe something. Ooh, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus has taken all of my sin so deeply, and he loves me so much that that's becoming what I was more than anything in my life. This is the truth of God's word. And see, cost. It will cost you something. Your life will change. And you'll be given life as you give this up to him. Because we all serve somebody. You're serving somebody now. You might as well serve one who will free you, give you life, say you matter, fulfill you, forgive you. And last, do. D. It's that you uniquely matter and are positioned right now to live that out, to welcome others in, to speak that truth. You can do that right now. Listening to their story, hearing, being curious, you sharing your story, which is part of God's, the ABCs, admit and believe and cost and do. And who knows what God might do? He broke in through Paul in the most crazy of ways, and here we are sitting today. Do you not think he still won't do things like that? To your neighbor, to your work, to the school you're in, to the friends? It isn't insurmountable. It will be him, but it will be you stepping out, uniquely positioned, and it will be work, and it will be hard, and it'll be tiring, and you'll be terrified, and then you'll be like, oh yeah, that's why I said be strong and courageous. Oh yeah, that's why he keeps pointing me back to his word. Oh yeah, that's why he says I will be with you. And you'll see him move. Jesus, community, calling. They're not even like just, oh, big steps. It's just what it is. It's just what the scriptures are. It's who he is. It's who he says we are. So I want you to hear this. Today, you are totally accepted if you are in Christ, all the way in. You are so loved. You are so cared for. And at the same time, you matter so much right now. Right now, who you are, God has things for you to break into your work, to your neighborhoods, to your friends, to your family. And so you pray. You move towards. You listen to stories. You love. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are the one who changes lives. You are the one who uniquely positioned Paul. Lord, we are so full of fear. All we want to do is run. Or we get in these places and we see in the scriptures where so often it says the people did what was right in their own eyes. Or we see where they're so full of fear that they run, or they race to try to control the situation, or they try to just like, we'll just get by. And that's just not what you ask them to do. Help us as a church grow in such a strength because it's you. Where, man, people come and they're tasting Jesus, but they're tasting a people who feel and know they're totally accepted. And they see a smile that's so real, that's like, reminds me of a kid in a candy shop. So God, send us out and help us just know that you are with us every step of the way. Amen.